Proverbs chapter 20. Look at one verse with me tonight. Let's read together on verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's all read together verse number 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And Lord, this lesson tonight, pray you help us, Lord, to learn it and to grow together and be challenged. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
A difficulty that all of us struggle with from time to time. Bible study this evening is simply entitled Self-Righteousness. Self-righteousness. And nobody wants to be accused of being self-righteous. But you know, I'm not talking about people that may accuse you. I'm saying we all struggle with it. Every single one of us. I do not know of anyone in my entire life in ministry who has not been subject to self-righteousness. I want to say tonight, right on the very beginning, that self-righteousness is an evil, yea, sinful, and destructive thing. All of us are to live righteously, but none of us are to live self-righteously in a self-righteous way. I want you to notice with me again verse 9. You have your Bible there, and you're going to need your Bible tonight for a number of different references, or at least a pen to write things down, and you'll want to know these different illustrations that are in the Bible. Verse 9 says, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And that was a question, to our knowledge, that was never answered by Rehoboam. As Solomon was teaching his son, this is one of the lessons that he taught him. But we never find an answer in the Bible of where he answered that question. It is, however, a question that we need to answer, and we're going to attempt to do that tonight in this Bible study. Who can say? Here's the question. Who can say, I have made my heart clean and am pure from my sin? Amazing little question. Important to ask. Well, certainly not the most notable believers in the Bible. I'm going to give you a number of illustrations in the Bible of some of the most notable believers. All the names are familiar to every one of us. First of all, certainly not David. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. David was a man used by God to pen a good portion of the Word of God, and David was the most notable king in all of Israel. There may be other names that are mentioned by some, and I'll mention another one of those in just a moment. But David, when you think of the kings in Israel, David is the one who's at the top of the list. But David could not say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin. In fact, if you'll take your Bible tonight and go to Psalm 51, you'll find out where David stood with the sin that he had committed, the egregious sins that he had committed against Uriah and his wife Bathsheba. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 7, David's own words, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part shalt thou make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Certainly David could not say, I am pure from my sin. Certainly, number two, not King Hezekiah. Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. It's interesting to note that the Bible says that there was never a king before or after Hezekiah like him. Amazing man. But yet, he was not pure from his, he did not live a sinless life. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 3 through 6, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called that Nehushtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any of that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandment which the Lord commanded Moses. Yet Hezekiah himself could not say, 'I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin.'" He did mess up later on, of course, and he even said, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Well, another individual, not Ezra, certainly not Ezra. Ezra chapter 9 in verse 6, notice the Bible says, "And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up under the heavens." Ezra was a man who, when he discovered the sin and of the wickedness of God's people, had his heart broken. But he said, "I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face, O my God, for our iniquities." He included himself. "Our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up under the heavens." He certainly could not say, "I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin." Next, not Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. The word of God says, "Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we," notice he included himself, "we have done wickedly, neither have our kings, our princes, our priests, nor our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them." Nehemiah was a great man who was involved in a great work for God. Yet he included himself in iniquities and transgressions, and he could not have said, "I have made my heart clean, and I am pure from my sin." The next one will surprise you. Certainly not Isaiah. Isaiah, the great prophet of God. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. He said, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto him, having a live coal in his hand, and he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I have unclean lips." He did not live a sinless life. Isaiah is one of the most noted prophets in the Bible, and God used him in a very mighty way, but he could not say, "I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin." And certainly not Daniel, number six. Daniel chapter 9 in verse 8. Notice what he prayed. He said, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers." Notice his statement, "For we have sinned against thee." No sin in the Bible is mentioned against Daniel, not a single one. It doesn't give a single transgression, yet in his prayer he asked for forgiveness. And he says, "We have sinned against thee." Other than by his own self-admission, you'll never find one sin ascribed to Daniel, not one. Yet he was a wonderful man of God, yet he could not say, "I have made my heart clean, and I am pure from my sin." Certainly not Peter. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Even as a disciple of Christ and one whom most believe to have been Christ's inner circle, one of his inner circle disciples, Peter saw himself as Christ saw him, as a sinful man. One day, Peter would be used to pen part of God's word and would be remembered as one of the greatest preachers in the New Testament, in all of New Testament history. But not even Peter could say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Number eight, certainly not John. First John chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Notice the words that he uses, we and ourselves, and not in us. He included himself as a sinner. He could not, listen, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved, and was also considered one of Christ's disciples also in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Yet he could not say, I have made my heart clean, and I am pure from my sin. Not James either, number nine. For in many things, it says in James 3 and verse 2, notice the words that are given here. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. He included himself as a sinner. James is the third disciple in Christ's inner circle. Yet he was a man who lived and served with Christ. Yet he could not say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Each one of these men have admitted their sinfulness. Forgiven? Oh, of course they were. And they confessed their sin, but they had not lived a sinless life. And then, of course, not the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul writes as a personal confession. He simply says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find not. Considered by many to be the greatest Christian who ever lived, and I'm not one who follows that same line of thinking, though he was really a great Christian, he penned 14, in my opinion, of the 27 books of the New Testament, and a man who started local churches all over Europe and Asia, a man responsible for bringing many people to faith in Christ, and a man whom God used to teach us the doctrines that we believe and practice. And Paul never saw himself that way, but only as a sinner, saved by God's grace. And though he was greatly used of God, he could not say, I have made my heart clean, or I am pure from my sin. I think about Job. You know, Job was a good man. We'll be looking at Job 9. We're going to be starting there tonight. But before Job went through his trial, and this is important for you to remember, before Job went through his trial, God considered him a perfect and upright man who feared God and eschewed evil or ran from evil. The tragedy in this is that Job thought that of himself as well. Let me say it again. The tragedy in all of that is that Job thought that of himself as well. Before Job learned his lesson, he saw himself as righteous in his own eyes. You're going to be surprised because all these verses just all go together. Job 9 in verse 17, for he breaketh me with a tempest and multiplieth my wounds without cause. Without cause? Interesting. Job 10:7. Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thy hand. Job chapter 11 and verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. Job 16:17. Not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. Job 23 verses 10 and 11. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Job 27 and verse 5. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Job 29 and verse 14. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Job 31 and verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And lastly, his opinion of himself, Job 33 and verse 9. I am clean. This is an amazing statement. I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. He thought pretty highly of himself. Of course, God did too, but it's like we would say when we were in high school, you know, he's handsome and lets everybody know it. Or she's pretty and lets everybody know it because they're proud of themselves. That's what we find here with Job. But after Job went through his trial, what happened? After he went through the boils and the loss of family and friends and buildings and animals and even the loyalty of his own wife, what happened after all of that happened? What happened to Job? Well, he changed his mind about his own self-righteousness. Let me show you what I mean. Job 42, verses 5 and 6. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, God had to put him in his place, and actually he used a man by the name of Elihu. One of my favorite characters in all the Bible is Elihu. And I've never heard anybody else say that about that man, but I just love him to death. I just think he's great. And then God put Job in his place. And when Job got the idea that he was not as righteous as he thought he was, his self-righteousness melted away, and he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. By the way, this is an important lesson. I'm going to give you a very important lesson at the end of this. But now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent. Why did he abhor himself? Because he saw God. Mine eye see, it doesn't mean he saw him physically, but he got a glimpse of God. The same thing happened to Job that happened to Isaiah. When they recognized God for what he was, they recognized themselves for what they were. Let me say that again. When they recognized God for what he is, they recognized themselves for what they were. Why would this be such an important lesson for a young king to learn? The answer is simple. Even a young king can see himself as so self-righteous that he thinks he is beyond question and above the Word of God. In all of this, there's an interesting application that I want to make. Don't look at your watches because I'm going to bring this Bible study to a close tonight. According to the verses that we have studied and the one that we just read where he said, now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, it would only make sense that, and remember this, the less one thinks of God, the more one thinks of himself. And the less one thinks of himself, the more one thinks of God. Let me say it again. The less one thinks of God, the more one thinks of himself. And the less one thinks of himself, the more one thinks of God. Job had it right at the end of this whole trial that he went through. He said, now mine eye seeth thee. What did he see before? He saw Job. He saw the fact that God said he was a perfect and an upright man and that he eschewed evil and all the different things that he believed about himself. But apparently it went to his head. That's the only thing that I can come to a conclusion. Apparently it went to it. Was Job a good man? Yes, he was. God said that he was. But sometimes we get good in our own eyes and we become fixated on ourselves. It wasn't until chapter 42 that he said, mine eye seeth thee. But I want you to notice what else it says. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear. But here's an important word. But now mine eye seeth thee. Now mine eyes. He had to go through all this, and God had to rebuke him, and Elihu had to straighten him out, and all the rest, and his friends had to accuse him, and all the different things that went on. But he said, "Now mine eye seeth thee." He says, "And I abhor myself." Wow. Pretty good statement, I think. And so that's my lesson tonight. Because all of us, from one time or another, we suffer from self-righteousness. We'll see ourselves sometimes as better than someone, or see ourselves as someone who's not as bad as someone. Or what was it the Pharisees said when they saw us? And says, "Thank God we're not like them. Thank God we're not like them." That was a rebuke that Jesus gave them because they were so self-righteous, you see. So my lesson tonight is for all of us to beware in our own lives of self-righteousness, because I'm here to tell you, it'll destroy you. I said at the beginning of the Bible study, it's an evil sin and very destructive thing, this thing called self-righteousness. The Apostle Paul learned it, and I think that we can too. See, Pastor, do you think that we're self-righteous? I think all of us are from one time or another. We can't exclude any of us, can we? No, because sometimes we just get that way. And so that's the lesson I had for us tonight. Let's all stand, if we would please, for a closing word of prayer.